Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 25, not forsaking, that is to say, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, which means encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There is a trend among young Christians. Now, this is true among some older Christians too, but it's particularly true among young Christians, that while they claim Christianity, they do not have a church life. This is not a good trend. Not long ago, I read in a certain news site a Christian who was writing that young people are actually very spiritual, they just don't go to church, but they instead go to Christian concerts and things. This was not a good statement. Being spiritual requires you to go to church. You can't really be spiritual. What she was thinking, this person who was writing it, and I like the person actually, don't get me wrong. But what she was thinking, I believe, is that there's a lot of young people who are still Christians, or at least who call themselves Christians, who claim Christianity, but they are walking away from very important things in Christianity, and that part she didn't recognize. Church attendance is not a religious exercise for the Christian. For a lot of people, it is. A lot of people go to church as an obligation. A lot of people go to church because you're supposed to. But the reality of it is, we desperately need our church. Now, I understand that some people are in a place where they cannot be physically in a church, or maybe there's not a good church in their area or what have you. But then there are provisions like what we do on the internet, where we have a church and then we have people join us who live in different countries to come in and participate in church with us. And so there is still a way to get to church. Young people, make a lifelong habit out of being in a good church. And I emphasize a good church. A good church is one where the Word of God is preached, but not just one portion leaving out another, where the entire Word of God is preached. The reason is because we need this. A good church is one that has a grace emphasis, where the major foundation in the preaching always points back to grace. A good church is one where the pastor is available to hear from the Holy Spirit. And by that, I'm not talking about expressing gifts like tongues or something. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, where the Holy Spirit speaks to the messengers in the pulpits of the churches, which are the pastors, and He gives them a message for the congregation. A good church is one that has a vision for lost souls, for telling people about Jesus. Because there are so many people in the world who don't know Him, who are not saved. About half of the people in the world never even heard His name. And so a good church is one that desires to tell people about Jesus. Nowadays, there is this trend. Young people, at all costs, avoid this trend. That people are careless about church attendance. That's very dangerous. We need our church. We need our church. Now in Romans 2:4, the Bible says we have many members, many parts, but one body. but all the members or parts do not have the same function. It's just like your body. You have a lot of different parts to your body, but all of the parts do something differently. And then he continues in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Imagine if a thumb decided the thumb was going to do things on its own. The thumb said, I'm going to separate from the hand and the arm and the rest of the body, and I'm going to go through life by myself. That would be very strange. You would see this thumb walking on the street. Actually, it wouldn't even be walking because there's no feet. So you would see this thumb on the street. And you think somebody had a terrible accident, there's a thumb on the street, and probably five people would pass out or somebody would throw up. Why would you want to do that? You wouldn't want to do that to your body. You wouldn't want to cut off your thumb. And certainly you can't imagine, it's a very silly thought, that your thumb would want to go off on its own. My thumb has never said to my head, I'm leaving. Strange enough as it may seem. But do you know that the body of Christ, in other words, people in the church, sometimes think very strangely. God says that the body of people in the church is like a physical body where every single individual in that church has a unique and important function. That body of people will not be able to function as effectively as the body of Christ without each individual portion being present and active in whatever role or gift from God that they may have. It's very important that we stay true to our church. Now, in Hebrews 11:6, God says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is something that I cannot have on my own except in a very small quantity. Now, everybody is born with a small amount of faith. The real question is not, does somebody have faith or not have faith? The real question is, what do they do with their faith? And some people put their faith in money, some people put their faith in other people. Some people put their faith in themselves. Maybe they have a skill or a talent, and so on. We don't want to do it that way. We want to put our faith in God. But there's only one real way to do that. It's not this vague belief that God is. Satan knows that God is. No, it is a very clear thing what faith is. Faith is something very precise. When he says without faith it's impossible to please him, he's talking about something very specific. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And also, it says that how can they hear if there is no preacher? And so, the pastor in the church provides us with the word of God. He gives it to us as the Holy Spirit gives it to him. So he passes on what he has received from the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to us as we listen to the message that the pastor is giving. And each person that is listening will walk away with something a little bit different. It's very common that two people hear the same message in church. And one person will say, wow, this message said this to me. And another person said it said something totally different to me. Well, that's the Holy Spirit taking the message and applying it to your life. And that's exactly what we want to have happen. But it's not going to happen unless we're receiving that message from the pastor. Now, as the pastor is preaching and teaching the Word of God, we develop the Word of God as a part of our thinking, of the way we think. It's called our frame of reference. As the Word of God enters our frame of reference, we start to think with God's thoughts. If you want a really simple but effective definition for faith, faith is when we think with God. Simple as that. We think with God, we think with His Word, there's faith. Well, faith comes by hearing. Now, the word in the original language is specifically hearing. Sometimes people say, well, I can read my Bible and I build faith that way. While it is important to read your Bible, absolutely, that's not how faith comes. Bible reading builds substance. In other words, you develop a certain amount of knowledge as to what's in the Bible. But that in itself is not what builds faith. The word in the original language is faith comes by akouo. And the word akouo literally does mean hearing with the ears. And so it's specifically saying that you need to hear a pastor teacher in order to develop faith. The reason for that is because faith requires humility. And to listen to the pastor teacher teach you the Word of God, preach the Word of God, to receive that from him, that requires humility. Because in James 4:6, God opposes the proud but gives an extra measure of grace to the humble, that means that God is going to do what it takes to build humility. And he wants us to receive the Word of God in humility so that the Word of God can have its proper effect. In Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. And so the thoughts that I have, the actions that I may take, they may not be violations of Moses' law. But if they're not of faith, if they're of myself, if I'm the source of those thoughts, God calls them sin. So the only way for us to stay out of sin is by developing a frame of reference that is the Word of God. Now in John 15:5, God said, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Jesus talking. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is one of the reasons why we need the Word of God. For me to abide in him means that I abide in the love of God. But for him to abide in me means that the Word of God is present in me and remains in me. So I keep myself in the love of God, and the Word of God remains in me. That's what it's saying. And then I bear much fruit. Then I have the proper kind of production. Then I have the proper kind of life that God is looking for, and that will also benefit me the most. But then he says this, without me, I can do nothing. Well, that means that unless I'm receiving the Word of God from my pastor teacher, I'm not going to have the faith whereby the things that I do amount to anything in eternity. Now, I'm not saying that I can't cross the street without the Word of God. I'm not saying that an unbeliever cannot become a doctor or a teacher or an engineer or what have you. What I'm saying is that it amounts nothing before God. The thing is that if it's not of faith, it's sin. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if I do something outside of faith, it may not appear to be a bad thing, but because it's outside of faith, it turns out to be sin, and the blood of Christ eliminates it. So yeah, I could be a doctor, or I can be a fireman or something that's noble, But at the same time, if it's not of faith, if it's something that's done outside of a communion and a relationship with God, outside of responding to Him, then God said it amounts to nothing. That's one reason why it's so important that in all our ways we acknowledge Him. We acknowledge Him, we respond to Him, and then it takes on real meaning. But we can only do that through faith. The Word of God gives us the mind to which the Holy Spirit can speak, whereby He can be very specific and precise. It's like this. If you go to a foreign country and you do not speak the language, you can have some basic communication. You can smile at somebody. People understand a smile everywhere. You can wave at somebody. People understand that everywhere. But if you want to ask them, what time does the bus go to town? You're not going to be able to do it. If you want anything specific, if you want anything beyond hello, you're not going to be able to do it. Well, the Word of God is like the language that the Holy Spirit speaks. He does guide us in all truth in John 16:13, but in John 17:17, the Word of God is the truth that He guides us in. So, if I am without the Word of God, I can't even have a really good relationship with God. I might be saved, but the relationship will really be just the most basic, superficial relationship. But through the Word of God, I can get to know Him very, very well. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul said, and he's talking as a pastor, according to the grace, and this is in the Amplified version of the Bible, the special endowment or empowerment for my task, of God given to me, like a skillful architect and a master builder, I laid down the foundation, and another man is building upon it. You're the other man. So what Paul says that for your life, for your faith, he actually is the architect of your faith. And he gives you a foundation of the Word of God. And then you build with responses and decisions and utilization of the Word of God. You build on what He gave you. So the pastor lays down the foundation on which your life is built. Well, you can only get that in church. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, the righteousness that I have is because of faith. I don't have righteousness because I do good things. I have righteousness because I have faith responses. That's why James 1:20 says that faith without works is dead. Faith without a response is meaningless. So if a person is to have true righteousness before God, and that's what gives us the right standing before Him, it's going to come through faith, which comes through the Word, which is delivered by the pastor in the church. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, when I receive the Word of God from my pastor in church, then I build on it with my responses, and there are six potential responses. Paul calls them gold, silver, precious stones, and then the other side he calls wood, hay, and stubble. What is any response that's the old sin nature? If I'm in the old sin nature, we call it the flesh, then it's wood. That gets burned up. That does not last. I get no reward for that. Hay is anything that has to do with emotions. If I'm just having an emotional response and that's it, or I'm living in my emotions, I'm oriented to my emotions, well, hay burns really well. That's not going to last. I get no reward for that. Stubble is the things that I start and quit. A lot of people start a lot of things and quit. If I start to respond to God and quit, if I maybe start on an outreach and then I could continue, but I simply quit because I don't feel like it or I'm too lazy, I have no good reason to stop. Well, I don't get any rewards for that. But the Word of God says that gold, silver, and precious stones get rewards. Gold is when I do respond in faith. Anytime I respond in faith, I get a measure of gold as my reward. Silver, which is a type of application of faith, is anything that's redemption. So applying or receiving mercy, giving or receiving forgiveness, anything whereby maybe you restore somebody who's struggling in their life with God, you win a soul. You tell somebody about Jesus. You get measures of silver for that because it's the things of redemption. And then precious stones is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which you can find in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and self-control and goodness and gentleness and kindness. Things like that. Those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When those are present in your life, you get rewards. The Word of God produces these in our lives. Young people, be very careful. Never become careless toward church. If you think that you don't need it, you've been deceived. You do need it. If you think you can do without it, you've been deceived. If you think that you can be casual toward it, I'll go if I want, I won't go if I want, you've been deceived. Paul said, gather together much more as you see the day approaching. The day that he's talking about is the rapture. As you see the signs of the rapture coming, as you see the moving of God happening, then gather together much more, not much less, much more, not even the same, much more. Why? Because it gives us our life with God. We don't go to church just to go to church. We don't go to church just to be religious. We certainly don't see it as an obligation or a duty or something like that. We need it. The same way that you need to eat, you need to be in church. That's one of the basic needs that we people have. It's the way God designed it. And then also because we need each other. We need other people and their expression of Christ toward us, and we also need to express what God has given us to other people. We need our church. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.